Like I said this morning, we're going to be in Philippians, and before we dive into the Word, I want to give you a little bit of background on the book. I'm sure you've already had this, but if you haven't been around church for any amount of time, let me let you know. Philippians is in the New Testament. It's a letter from Paul, a guy who wrote a lot of letters in the New Testament, and he's writing it back to the church in Philippi. It's kind of a missionary thank you letter, right? Paul is actually, when he's writing this, is more than likely sitting in prison. That's what he does a lot. He gets put in prison every once in a while, and he's writing back to the church in Philippi, and he's thanking them, and he's also warning them a little bit about some stuff. If you have your Bible or your Bible app or your iPad or the actual original language, I don't know, whatever you do it in, we will be in Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at the first 11 verses there, but before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we give you thanks and praise for your mercy and your goodness. Lord, we thank you for the fact that we can rejoice in you, that you are faithful. Your mercy is new every morning. Lord, we pray that this morning as we open up your word, that you would open our eyes to see you, you would open our ears to hear you, that you would open our lips as we leave this place to give you praise, where we live, learn, labor, and laugh. We ask this all in the strong name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. It is graduation season, right? You might have gotten an invitation to a kindergarten graduation, a preschool graduation, an eighth grade graduation, a high school graduation, a college graduation, a master's graduation, a doctoral. There are graduations everywhere. In fact, in the next couple weeks, I'm going to be going to an eighth grade graduation as well as a kindergarten graduation because I work at a school that has an eighth grade, and my wife is the kindergarten teacher, so I get to go to both of those things. But the interesting part about graduation is you always typically get what? A diploma, a certificate, a piece of paper, right, that says that you have worked very hard for this. Right, you have put in the time and the effort, and there are some people that display those pieces of paper all on their walls. Right, when you walk into a doctor's office, you hope to see a diploma from somewhere. Right, if you walk into my office, you will not see any diplomas because they're still in the original packaging that they came in. I literally got the letter, opened them up, pulled them out, said, "This is cool," and put them on a bookshelf. Right. I just have to remember to take them when I move, because for me, the diploma is not a big deal, but for others, it is. I mean, you worked hard for this, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the reality of the fact is that if you don't have a diploma, it doesn't mean that you're not worthy. It doesn't mean that you're not a good person. It doesn't mean that you're worth nothing. But yet there are some that value those things so greatly. I met my neighbor, the mother of my neighbor, when the first time I met her, you know, I said, "Hey, my name's Kyle." And she goes, "Hi, my name is Doctor." And I was like, "Oh, well, my name is Reverend." You know, I mean, just like, it's kind of that list of credentials to say, like, no, this is what makes me worthy because I have this education. Now, I love education. In fact, I would love to get my doctorate, but my wife won't let me. She doesn't like how I am when I'm in school. But have you ever been around somebody who's just like, that's their identity, is what I have accomplished in life? What I have done makes me who I am today. Well, Paul talks about that a little bit in today's reading. You see, Paul's writing back to the church in Philippi, and he's rejoicing in them, and you've gone through the first couple chapters of Philippi about the fact that, you know, I thank my God for the remembrance of you, always keeping you in prayer because of your partnership in the gospel. And he's, you know, celebrating what Jesus has done in and through the church in Philippi. He's talking about, you know, there's a great, in Philippians chapter 2, if you've never read that, there's a really great reading about the how Christ humiliates himself and then how he is exalted because of his death and resurrection and who he is. And then we get to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, Paul begins to really warn the Philippians against some people that like to come into churches and divide. If you would join me in Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to read from the ESV, the English Standard Version, also known as the Lutheran Version. I'm kidding. Because if you go to the Lutheran Study Bible, it's the ESV. Sorry. It says this, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." Easy for Paul to say. He's sitting in prison. Right? "Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you." Paul begins this section with just rejoicing in the fact of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done in his life. But then he says this, "Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Look out for the dogs." Beware, the actual Greek says, beware of those dogs. Now, who are these dogs that Paul's referring to? Well, there's a group of Christians, or those who are following Jesus, that are called Judaizers, right? And these guys, I would say they mean well, but they really are more about what they do. I follow the Old Testament rules and regulations. And if you are a true Christian, you too would follow the Old Testament rules and regulations to the T. Because that's how you are righteous. Yes, you believe in Jesus and you do these things. And they would come into the church and they would basically stir up some dissension in the church and really go back and say, well, it says in the Old Testament that you are to do this. And really the big thing was circumcision. Don't want to go into all that, even though the kids are in the other room, right? But that's really kind of what the key issue was. If you were going to be a real Christian and following Jesus, you would have to be circumcised, guys. And Paul hears this, and he knows this is like literally tearing churches up. In fact, if you go to the church in Galatia, right, he starts out his book in Galatians saying, guys, who bewitched you in thinking that it's not just Jesus, but it's Jesus and something you do? There are churches that in today's time that would teach that unless you speak in tongues, you don't have the Spirit of God. It's Jesus and. Unless you go through a believer's baptism, you're not really a Christian. It's Jesus and. And what Paul is saying in this is beware of these people. Beware of these people that come in amidst you and stir up confusion, stir up division, stir up things that are not of Jesus. And the best part is he calls them dogs. And why that's the best part is because that was like kind of the Jews slang for Gentiles, for those who are not Jews, right? It was to call them dogs. These dogs, right? They just roam the streets and bark at people, and they're just scavengers. And Paul's kind of taking that term and he's throwing it back at them, but then he goes on to say this. He says, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." In Romans, Paul talks about the difference between Jews and Gentiles. In Romans chapter 2, he says this, "For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is a circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart. By the Spirit, not by the letter, his praise is from man, is not from man, but from God." Judaizers put their confidence in their flesh, put their confidence in what they did. Did X. It would be like somebody going like, well, I'm a Christian because I go to church. Well, do you believe this stuff? Well, no, but I go to church, right? I show up every Sunday. I give money. I do all of these things that are an outward expression that people see me doing. So obviously, I'm a follower of Jesus. And what Paul's saying is it's not about what we're doing outwardly, but it's about what God's doing inwardly in us. It's about how God is working and changing our heart. It's about how God is transforming us each and every day in spite of ourselves, because our sinful flesh wants nothing to do with that. But yet the Spirit of God comes into us through the waters of baptism, calls us his own, and transforms us through the word. Paul goes on to say, I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. And then he starts talking about his diplomas, right? If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Paul had jumped through all the hoops. Paul had done everything that done. Paul had done all the things that matter in the church. Or so some thought. But at the end of all, what really matters most? It's not wrong to have people say, hey, you know, you need to go through a membership class before you become a member here, right? It's not wrong to say, hey, you know, we want to baptize your baby. It's not wrong. I want to confuse people and say, well, you, it's only this, right? It's not wrong to have things you go through, right? It's not wrong to send pastors to seminary, right, to make sure that they're trained in the Word of God. By the way, I grew up in Houston. I know 5 and 15 by memory. I am a red hymnal Christian. I was baptized by Pastor Simchek. I was raised by the Reverend Dr. Lawrence White. I was confirmed my faith at St. Mark Conroe, which if you know anything about the three churches I've just mentioned, they're very conservative Lutheran churches, right? All of my diplomas at high school, college, and seminary say Concordia on them, right? I have gone through the hoops of Lutheranism. I am a true Lutheran. I am a true Lutheran. Are you a true Lutheran, sir? Do your diplomas say, but that's what I'm talking about, right? That's exactly what was going on here that Paul was warning about. You know, I am ordained. Although I'm not wearing a collar nor a robe. We're not, you know, standing up, sitting down, fight, 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 right? So it's like, are you really a Christian? Is the question that a lot of these folks would ask when they came into the churches and they would stir up dissension and they would say, you have to do these things, or the answer to that question is no. And Paul was saying, guys, I've done all those things. I have jumped through all the hoops. I have the pedigree, the degrees, and everything else that you would say that matters. But I count them all as loss for the sake of Christ. I count them all as rubbish for the sake of Christ. I count them all as, no, I'm not going there, for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, I may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul counts all of the things that he has earned on this side of heaven as loss. He counts all of those things that a lot of people would lift up and celebrate and say, this is so important, look at what this person has done. Our pastor is the Reverend Dr. Mark Manning, right? But if you were to meet Mark on the street, he's not going to walk up to you and go, I am the Reverend Dr. Mark Manning. Kneel before me. Kiss my ring, right? That's not who Mark is. Yeah, yeah. The pastor here at this church, who is the normal regular pastor, really is, you would meet him on the street, and he would just say, my name's Mark, right? Because he counts it all as loss for the sake of Christ. He knows it's not his righteousness. Paul knows it's not his righteousness. I pray that you know it's not your righteousness. It's not the things that you have done that all of a sudden God says, oh, you are now worthy because you have done X, Y, and Z. You're not going to stand before God in heaven and he's going to go, I'm sorry, you only went to church 48 times in 2025 instead of 52 times. You're not going to make it here. To really know that it is Christ who comes to us in spite of ourselves. That it's not about what we do. It's not about what, you know, the show we put on, but it's about who he is and what he's done. That his righteousness covers us. That these glorious acts that we have done are really, though important, rubbish if we're using those to make ourselves, prop ourselves up before the Lord. Because he sees the reality of the shadow of your life as well. The things you've done that you want nobody else to know about. The things that you've done that you don't want to put out there as a, I am the Reverend whatever. He knows those as well. But yet his blood covers those. His righteousness covers those. So when God sees us, he doesn't see us. He sees Jesus. You see, for Paul, it was all about Jesus. His past accomplishments, they didn't matter. His present condition, it didn't matter. All that mattered was Jesus. All that mattered to Paul was that Jesus loved him, that Jesus valued him, that Jesus forgave him, that Jesus died for him and rose for him. His identity, everything he was wrapped up in, was about Christ. And he counted everything else in his life as rubbish, the good and the bad. It was all just window dressing. That's here today and gone tomorrow. Thank God that it's not Jesus and fill in the blank. Because I don't know about you, but I'd be screwed. I'd have no chance. Because if I'm honest, I really don't bring anything to the table. Yes, I am the Lutheran of Lutherans, right? But yet it's not enough. And I know that. There's seminarians sitting in here going, I could preach a better sermon than this guy, right? It's not enough. You might be thinking, I can preach a better sermon than this guy. And you might be right. But like Paul, I don't have a righteousness of my own. I don't have anything that brings to the table, but thank God that God gives us Christ's righteousness through faith in him. Thank God that he forgives our sins, that he does all the heavy lifting. Do you ever stop and think about how worried, I don't know about you, but I do, how worried I would be if it was all about me, if I really had to go before God and, like, you know, weigh the scales in heaven? I had a relative of mine that followed a religion that believes that when you stand before God, there's basically scales that get weighed, your good deeds versus your bad deeds. And I'm like, how many are enough? And that's what I would always wonder. But I know that enough is what Jesus did. I know that enough is the fact that he calls me his own. I know that his forgiveness, his new life, his promises are not something that I earn, but something that he gives freely. And this same Jesus that has saved and redeemed Paul, that's given him everything, has saved and redeemed you. He's given you everything through faith in Jesus. It's not Jesus and, it's because what Jesus has done. To be honest, your greatest accomplishments don't hold a candle to what Christ has done for you. Now, that's not to say that all of a sudden now I just sit on the couch and do nothing, right? I'm still called to live out the vocations and the life that God has given me to the best of my ability, to do it all as thanks and praise to Him. That's the response in this, right? But when it comes to your justification, when it comes to your standing before God, you bring nothing to the table. It's solely what God has done for you through faith in Christ Jesus. And then we go. We go as people who are loved and forgiven and made new in Christ. Into a world that really easily gets sucked up into, what have you done? How many people do you know that do all they can because they believe their value is in what they do? Or the degrees that they have? Or the number of letters behind their name. We all, I'm going to guess, know at least one person that's like that, right? Can you imagine the amount of pressure that one puts on themselves when they think that their identity and their value is in those things? To how much of a failure that one might feel that if that's not accomplished. I used to be that person, by the way. If I didn't get an A, I was no good. And it was overwhelming. These folks would come into the church and basically say, if you're not getting A's, it's not good enough. Paul looks at him and says, I got straight A's. And I count that as nothing. Because when God looks at me, He's not like, did you get an A on that? I'm not going to love you unless you got an A on that. But He says, my son got the A for you. That's your A. That's your value. That's your love. That's your identity. That's who I see you as. It's not about the letters behind your name. Though that's a good thing, especially if you're in certain professions that need the letters, right? I want my doctor to have those letters behind his name or in front of his name, right? I want my surgeon to have gone to school and done very well. But it doesn't bring the value. It doesn't bring the joy. The joy is in knowing that you are His and He is yours. So may, like Paul, you and I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as our Lord. May we learn to keep that the main thing in life, that yes, I'm seeking to accomplish the best in the career that God has called me to and doing all I can to glorify Him in that career, but at the end of the day, if that career is not there, it doesn't define who I am. May the Holy Spirit guard our hearts and our minds. May He guard our churches from those that try to turn our focus from what Christ has done to what we do. And may the Spirit continue to encourage and equip us to share the hope that we have in Christ with all of those around. As we go back to the places where we live, learn, labor, and laugh, as we encounter those people who are overwhelmed with stress because they feel that their identity is in things that they do or in accomplishments that they have, may we be the people that go, man, that's got to be exhausting. I feel you. I try to do my best too, but let me tell you about what gives me value, about who gives me value. And so that you may know this freedom, this love, this forgiveness, not because of anything that you have done, but solely because of what He did for you. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You and praise You for Your mercy.